Please turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I'll be reading verses 1 to 4. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. This is the word of God.
Morning, church. I'm Jordan. I'm one of the pastors of the church. It is always with fear and trembling that I come and share the Word of God. And I pray that today the Word of God will speak to you and my reflections, my thoughts will be helpful in always as we study the Word of God. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your presence yesterday, today, and forevermore. And as we learn from your living word today, brief life and understanding on us, this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now this year, our church began our series on the book of Acts. Now, so far, we have covered about 10 chapters with much of our emphasis on the gospel message. Now, the foundation of the gospel, which is in Jesus, the living God, the power of the gospel, which is in the Holy Spirit, the importance of the gospel because it has the power to bring joy and transformation to all who receive it, and also the impartiality of the gospel, that God has no prejudice against anyone, whether Jews or Gentiles, and neither should we. Now, the book of Acts is a historical record of the early church, you know, a record of the disciples preaching, sharing, living out the gospel in Jerusalem and ultimately to the ends of the earth, as commanded by the Lord Jesus. It is a record of the power of God in transforming life, in building and growing the church, manifested through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 11, chapter 12, we see the Apostle Peter going to report to the church in Jerusalem regarding his vision and why the church has to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. We see Barnabas going to the young church in Antioch among Gentiles to exhort and encourage the followers. And we also see how Saul, you know, formerly a persecutor of the church, brought over to Antioch and spends a year there with them, teaching a great many people before returning to the church in Jerusalem. But then again, there is persecution. One of the consistent themes in the book of Acts, persecution continues in Acts chapter 12. You know, we see James, the brother of John, killed, Peter arrested by Herod the king. Luke records that Peter is miraculously rescued as the church prayed earnestly. Yet in the midst of continued persecution, the church will continue to grow strong. And we see Barnabas and Saul returning to the church in Antioch once again. And that brings us to Acts chapter 13. I'm just giving a short summary of what we did not cover in our sermon series. And I would really encourage all of us to read through the book of Acts, maybe the first time, second time, third time. You know, read through the book of Acts as we go through the series so that you have a better understanding of what is happening, what had happened. And to my first point of the day, diversity. You know, the mission of the church, diversity, perhaps is not so clearly seen. Now, so much has happened since the death and resurrection of Jesus. The disciples had gone from hiding behind locked doors, multiple locked doors, you know, to a time where they openly proclaim Jesus, the risen Lord. And in the midst of the apostles getting arrested, threatened, the followers persecuted severely, the church continues to grow from Jerusalem to Antioch and beyond. It will continue growing. And it would be from the church at Antioch that Barnabas and Saul begin their missionary work. Now, actually, prior to this, the early church had never actually sent out missionaries. Now, the early spread of the gospel was actually forced by persecution, you know, as the followers scattered from Jerusalem. They were not sent out. You know, the church leaders did not say, go to here and here to start the church. They were forced to leave. And it would also be the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, who lead the apostles to different people, you know, like the Ethiopian eunuch, like Saul, like Cornelius. The early church really did not pursue missions until Acts chapter 13. But what strikes me first as I look at Acts chapter 13 verse 1 is the diversity mentioned. You know, Luke lists down the prophets and teachers of the church. We see Barnabas, he's a Levite from Cyprus. Simeon, likely a black man. He's called Niger or Niger. We're not very sure, but likely his skin tone was black and dark. Lucius, a Roman from Cyrene in North Africa. Manaen, who in his youth was chosen as a companion to Herod Antipas. And finally, we have Saul, a Pharisee from Cilicia. And I think this diversity reflects the city of Antioch. You know, a diverse, cosmopolitan place, you know, very much like Singapore. I remember many years back when I went on my first mission trip with the church to Thailand. I was brought to a street market for lunch. We were enjoying ourselves, a simple Thai version wantan mee. You know, the blogger wasn't there, not the same one. But then the missionary introduced the hawker. Oh, this is actually one of the deacons of the church. I was honestly surprised. You know, my knowledge of the church, even back then, was only based from experiences in Singapore. So for the longest time, I always think of, you know, the pastors, the elders, the deacons. They were like people who were up there. You know, people with a lot of authority and knowledge, like almost unreachable and unapproachable, almost. You know, not that my pastor back then, or the elders or deacons, were behaving in such ways. You know, sometimes when you sit at a pew and you look at them, they seem like, oh, so far, and you don't really get a chance to speak with them. But, of course, the elders and deacons are very nice. Elder So King, the pastors then, all very nice. And sometimes, even a simple gift like food, chocolates from them, when I receive from them, I'll be like, wow, got special privilege. And back to the topic of diversity, I think the text reminds me of how diversity is important in the church, regardless of status, your work, and it should never be neglected. You know, in Singapore, in our church, the Chinese-speaking are the majority. But we have among us also members of different nationalities. It's such a joy to see them rise as leaders within the church in different capacity because they offer different perspectives and thoughts. I think another important factor is that the church must never be prejudiced against anyone, against any nationalities or class. Your status, your job, does not matter in the eyes of God. Our ministries in the church cannot be limited just to the Singaporeans or to the Chinese. I mean, even isn't it such a blessing to have Edward leading us as a worship leader? You know, we have Deacon William serving for so many years. They add diversity, and I might say a different flavor to our church community, you know, just as each one of you. But diversity also means that there are passion for different things, skill sets for varied needs. And sometimes it's not easy to know where your part or your role within the church is. What can you do? Why doesn't more people share my passion? It can be difficult. And for the leaders of the church, it is also not easy to work at unity within the church itself. You know, what direction should the church be heading towards? What passion should we encourage and build? There's such a diversity within the church. And back to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now the different leaders of the church gathered to worship the Lord and to fast. Now if you read the chapters, all the chapters before Acts chapter 13, I think it is safe to assume that at this moment, the leaders were spending extended time in order to seek the Lord. And very likely they were asking questions, asking the Lord something similar to, you know, what next, Lord? What do we do now? Where do we go? How do we grow the church? You know, these are leaders of great diversity. And I'm sure they have different ideas and passion. But they came together to pray. So while we cannot neglect diversity, we must pursue unity. And as a church, there really is no better way to do that than through corporate worship, prayer, and even fasting. And which brings me to my second point this morning. The mission of the church: worship, prayer, fasting. Now the word translated as worshipping in our English Bible, it literally means ministering or acts of service. It is not just about songs and music. It is not about singing songs to God or to one another, but it's about ministering to the Lord, to offer service to God, to say that I am willing to offer service to you. So the leaders of the Antioch church were praying, fasting, you know, ministering to the Lord, asking for the next step. And even after they have received the message from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, the leaders continued fasting and praying before they commissioned Barnabas and Saul for the work. Now, Luke doesn't record the amount of time, the length of time they spent in worship, in prayer, or in fasting. But again, we can safely assume that it should be a considerable amount of time. Otherwise, it would be a really fast. You know, a short time of fasting would not be fasting at all. When we look at our church mission and vision, this is a screenshot from our church website. I hope you have seen it. Have you ever wondered how our vision and mission came about? Or do you just read it and, okay, you know, did they pop out from some particular Bible passage or from some leaders in the church who decided, okay, this is a good line to have? Now this vision, it actually took months of discussion and prayer before the church leadership settled on the mission and vision for the church. You know, we asked the same question: what next for us? Where do we go from here, Lord? Where are you leading us to? And so the leaders of MKPC, the pastors, elders, deacons, studied the word. We talked about what it means to be a Christian, what Christ's likeness is and should be like, and prayed and waited till we finally heard, agreed that this is what the Lord is leading us to as a church. This is what we are called to do, to be a vibrant church growing and influencing others towards Christ likeness. Now, maybe one day there will be an article about our church. Now, recently, the EP had expressed featured our church. So maybe one day they will have a line in, you know, another article to say that, oh, the church leaders of AMKBC gathered worshipping and praying, and the Holy Spirit said, go, be a church growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. That would be quite nice. But we know that reading the Bible, just reading the Bible alone, does not give us a simple or direct answers to many of our life's questions. We always have questions that we want to ask the Lord. What should I study? What subject combination should I take? Should I go to JC, Poly? What career should I pursue? Should I take this job? Should I quit this work? There's so many things, so many questions that we want to ask the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult. The Bible does not give us answers to many of such questions. But that does not mean we cannot ask such questions. One thing we must learn from this passage, as with the rest of the Bible, is that we can ask boldly, prayerfully, with worship and fasting. Ask the Lord what is His direction and plan for us. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Pray. A time of fasting is also an opportunity for the Holy Spirit's special guidance. It is a time where we cut ourselves from distractions so that we can meet with the Lord and listen to the Lord. And the passage today actually shows quite clearly that there is a connection between worship, prayer, fasting, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Whether it is for our personal life decisions or for our church as a whole, you know, worship, prayer, and fasting is important and needful in seeking the Lord and in understanding His will. Now, last Sunday was Easter Sunday. Churches worldwide were celebrating, remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of victory over sin and death. But like Reverend Shrima prayed earlier, you know, we know that it was overshadowed by the Sri Lanka bombing. 200 over dead, hundreds more injured. You know, three churches, three hotels were targeted by the suicide bombers. And I'm sure there are a lot of work to be done. Family members, church members to be comforted. You know, church buildings to be restored, repaired. Decisions to be made regarding church services, meetings. Should they continue to meet? How can they improve security and etc.? And there's so much news. You know, updates, comments from people, good ones, bad ones, hateful ones. I think I read one article from Ajay Fernando. He's from Youth for Christ, Sri Lanka. And he made a great comment in his article on how we can be praying for Sri Lanka. He says here, quite small, while it may seem foolish to spend time praying when there is a crisis around us, this is the most powerful thing God's people can do in a national crisis. We need to mobilize individual and corporate prayer among Christians. We need to mobilize individual and corporate prayer among Christians. You know, we can feel saddened. Or we can be saddened by the news. We may feel that it is such a horrific incident. But how much do we pray? Can we as Christians afford not to pray? Can we as a church afford to delay or postpone our prayers? No, we cannot and we must not. A Scottish preacher, Thomas Chalmers, said this, prayer does not enable us to do a greater work for God. Prayer is a greater work for God. Some of us at times will think of prayer like work, or we think of prayer as a meeting with God to tell God that I want to do this. God, help me to do this. But really, prayer is about listening and discerning from the Lord so that we do not depend on our human understanding and experiences. We pray so that we depend on God. We go in the power of God and we send in the power of the Holy Spirit as we hear and we obey. Now, as diverse and different, as busy as we are in the church, really we cannot neglect the importance of worship, prayer, and fasting. No, because it is how we receive empowerment of the Lord through His Holy Spirit. We are to obey, to go, to send. Now back to the text. After hearing from the Holy Spirit, the Antioch church leaders continued to fast and pray. You know, before they laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them off. Now just think about it for a while. You know, the Antioch church was actually kind of sending off the best people among their leaders. You know, we do not really know the credentials of Lucius, Simeon, but we do know that Barnabas and Saul, they were important leaders. Yet Luke records no particular resistance against the call to send them off, to set them apart for the work of the Lord. These are the best teachers that has come along the way to help the Antioch church. And now they hear that, oh, send them off for this work. And imagine now if for some divine reason, God sends us some, you know, renowned Christian leader to the church. You know, you can take your pick in your mind, you know, John Piper, Timothy Keller, Paul Tripp, N.T. Wright. Just imagine one of them coming to our church, you know, the most influential author that you can think of. So he's here, or they are here for a while, you know, serving effectively for a few months. And then suddenly we hear the Holy Spirit say, oh, that this person should go be the pastor somewhere else. You know, we have enjoyed the preaching, teaching for a few months. And then we are told to let them go. Let him go and serve God somewhere else. Will we as a church be willing to? Will we let them go? Or to make it slightly simpler or harder, imagine if the Lord tells us to set apart Reverend Srimal, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Chung Kiat, for a work that he has called them to. Mission work in Japan, maybe. Or to plant another church in another school in another part of Singapore. Will we obey? Will we be willing to send? Will we say with our all passion and earnestness, you know, as we hear the Lord to say, go? Will we be willing to send? Now, in 1991, a local church was willing to do something quite similar. You know, discerning the Lord's leading, answering the call to start an English congregation in Presbyterian High School. You know, I quote from here, again from our church website. Covenant responded by sending our vibrant youths and young adults to be the pioneers and church planters. These were our prime givers and active servers of the church. In view of the daunting task of reaching the hundreds of PHS students, we had to send our creative and energetic team of young people to face the challenge. In a sense, these young pioneers were missionaries sent out, never to return again to the mother church. Now you can read this again on our church webpage under our history, or better yet, if you can find, you know, go and interview the pioneers of our church, ask them what was the experience like to be sent out. These young people were the energy, the future of the church. But Covenant Presbyterian Church responded in faith to God's call. Now, if you look around you right now, imagine if we suddenly send out all our people here under 21, under 25. How willing will we be to send them off? You know, Covenant Presbyterian Church understood the high cost and actually possible risk to their own church as they released the young people to be missionaries in PHS. But today we see the faithfulness of God in our church, the harvest from PHS. Now we have former students of the school, you know, they have their family members, parents who attend our church now, you know, their spouse, their children. We have pastors, deacons, lay leaders who came from PHS, who came to visit our church, who stayed in our church. It takes faith to believe it can happen, and a lot of faith to persevere through the years. I think it would be excusable if Covenant Presbyterian Church said no. You know, many years ago in 1991, if they said no to planting a church here, because then they could keep their young and vibrant people to continue serving in their church. And it would be also simple for the young people to just say no to coming over. I didn't interview the young people, the creative young people then, you know, but they were leaving their comfort zone, you know, leaving a familiar place, leaving some familiar people to an unknown work God has called them to. And back in those days, the public transport in Singapore wasn't as good. So for them to travel in the past from another place now is to travel to a completely different place. Some of them, I remember, said that they traveled long hours just to come to Ang Mo Kio. But I believe the leaders of Covenant Presbyterian Church, they prayed, they worshiped the Lord, they perhaps fasted before they made the decision to release the young people and some of their leaders. I think the leaders who were sent here, the young people who were sent here, themselves must have prayed and sought the Lord before deciding if they would move over to Ang Mo Kio. Worship, prayer, and fasting, it helps us discern the Lord's will. No, but we, you know, you must take the step of obedience, whether to go or to send, so that the will of God is honored. Now this year, our church, EMKBC, would also be challenged to take a step of faith. Now we have actually been approached to be the sponsoring church for a Boys Brigade Junior Company. You know, the principal of Anderson Primary School, just across the street, over there, you know, she wants to have a BB company as the school first uniform group. I'm not sure what's your first thought about it. You know, as a church, we can look at it as an opportunity to really engage the children long term. You know, most of them would be from the neighborhood. Or we can look at our church, look inward, look at our current involvement in PHS, our heavy involvement with the Senior Boys Brigade Company, the Girls Brigade Company, and it would be excusable to just say no. But our church has actually been praying. We have been working hard trying to reach our community. You know, we had our 25th anniversary carnival. We invited the community to come. We had our basketball clinic for the children. And then last year, we had our kids' camp. All efforts to want to connect with the community and to reach out to them. But God, right now, has really opened a way for us to make a greater impact for the neighborhood and really to engage the children within the primary school. And it is a long-term engagement. It is, in some sense, also a captive audience. So my challenge for all of us this morning is this. Will you join us? Join the leaders, join the fellow members of our church in prayer. And ask the Lord to direct you, to lead you. Is there a possible role in the church that you can take, where you can serve, or even a role in the BB Junior Company, or perhaps any other ministries of the church, or even to help out in the next kids' camp? pray, listen to the Lord, and speak to the leaders about it. Ask questions of the Lord and ask questions of the leadership in the church. How can you serve? How can you use your gift to serve? Pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment among the church leaders. Pray for unity, for resonance in leading the church forward. Now, actually, something most of you will not know is that over the years, I think our BB officers had actually prayed about the possibility of starting a junior company, not necessarily in Anderson Primary School. And they have talked about it, dialogue about it here and there. I think God is taking the first step for us, pushing us forward. We can talk, but if we do not take action, if we do not obey to go, to send, then it is in vain. Remember, we pray not because it enables us to do a greater work for God, but because prayer itself is a greater work we can do for God. It should be the start of any work we do for the Lord. Now, I titled my sermon today as The Mission of the Church. Perhaps you are thinking, it doesn't link at all. Because I believe the mission of the church, and not just our church, is really multifaceted. It cannot be captured fully in one or two sentences or in one sermon alone. It is not just evangelism. It is not just discipleship. It is not just mission. It is all of that and so much more. The mission of the church is to embrace, to encourage the diversity within it. You know, Chinese, Indonesian, Filipino, Korean, Americans, we are one in Christ. And even though with diversity there will be differences, we are called to unity. The mission of the church is to discern the will of the Lord through worship, through prayer, through fasting. And as we do all of that, it teaches us to surrender, to submit to the Holy Spirit's leading as one body in Christ. The mission of the church is to obey, to go, to send as led by the Lord for the glory of God. When the church, diverse as it is, unites as one in obedience, then we will see revival, we will see growth, we will see transformation. When each of us use our different gifts to glorify God with our lives, the gospel will come alive. What can you do? What practical response can we have after today's message? You know, on Sunday we have corporate worship, we have corporate prayer. So maybe we can have a corporate time of fasting. Maybe next year during Lent season. Or you can consider joining us for our monthly prayer meetings on the fourth Friday of each month for a start. To set aside your time, mark the date out in your calendar. Because a church without prayer is really a church without power. A church without prayer is a church without power. We can dialogue all we want about what we do. We can talk to one another every day about what could be done, should be done, can be done. But if we do not pray, if we do not come together to pray and to seek the Lord, then it is again in vain. If you feel awkward, you know, praying with others, maybe you can start by praying regularly on your own. Set aside a time every day, morning, evening, on your way to work, on your way to school, during your exercise, you know, pray. Write down on your calendar, maybe even note down on your phone what you want to be praying for. You know, praying for the church, for the leaders of the church, praying for your CG, for your family members, praying for the programs, activities that is coming up in the church. Or just pray generally that, Lord God, you be the one to lead our church. Pray that our church will really be able to hear and to discern the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, whether it is in PHS, Anderson Primary, the community around, the church, I think it doesn't matter where God leads us to. If He opens the door, that will be our mission. A church without prayer is a church without power. How can we be serving? How can you use your different gifts to serve the Lord? Let us take some time to pray. I encourage you to pray for yourself right now. Ask the Lord to begin revealing to you what is next for you. How can you grow? Where can you serve? How can you move from your comfort zone? Lord, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. And our desire is to know you and to follow after you. We know that Jesus is our perfect role model, and we have the Holy Spirit, our perfect helper and counselor. So we pray as a church that you would reveal to us where we are unwilling to follow. Reveal to us where we might have prejudice. Reveal to us your purpose for us as individuals and as a church. We ask that, Lord, you will speak to us, for your servant is listening. And may the Holy Spirit breathe life and joy into us in all our service to the Lord. And as we hear, Lord, from you, humble us so that we may obediently go, be sent by you for your work, for the mission that, Lord, you have sent us to. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all that you show us and grant to us. As we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.